25th. And present are Representative Berkowitz, Representative Holm, and Representative Seaton. Today we've set aside the time to do a confirmation hearing on the Commissioner Designate Mike Miller from North Pole. And if you want to take the stand here, I was thinking about this, how to introduce you when in my room. That's why I was in my room for so long, because you have such a long career in the legislature and in Alaska. You certainly come to the position of Commissioner of Administration with a great background, at least trying to deal with legislative committees. So, and I can't remember, how many times have you sat on the other side of the podium taking...
Not that often, other than testifying on personal legislation.
Well, this is your overview prior to your confirmation or not confirmation. You know how it works. We don't make a recommendation here. We simply forward your name for a joint session of legislature. The committee will be doing an overview of Department of Administration, and while the committee is welcome to talk with you about all the things that are going on in the Department of Administration, there will be a separate hearing for that. So if the members want to hold questions for that, they're welcome to, or as I indicated to you earlier, they may want to go into some of those things that we'll certainly do want to do on the overview, like employee contracts and that sort of thing. So without further delay, I also want to introduce Representative Dahlstrom and Representative Lynn. And Senator Miller, why don't you go ahead and just give us the who, what, where, when, why of you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And it has been somewhat different looking at from the other side of the aisle after spending so many years on your side of the aisle looking at the issues, and has in many ways been an eye-opener and has been a challenge. But for just a little bit of information, for the record, my name is Mike Miller from North Pole, currently residing in Juneau. Just for the record, a little bit, I know you all have the sheet before you, my bio, but just for the record, I was, of course, born in Fairbanks and raised in North Pole, and my education is, I received all my education in the state of Alaska, graduated from the North Pole Elementary School way back when, and attended Monroe High School in Fairbanks, graduated in 1970, and then I spent a number of years accumulating a number of credits at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. Unfortunately, they never added up to anything, but I accumulated a number of credits. I spent some time in the Alaska Air National Guard in the early 70s. My work history, I grew up in a family business. My mom and dad started our place of business at Santa Claus House in 1952. We celebrated our 50th anniversary last year as a business in the state of Alaska. And ever since I could walk, I was involved in that. I did take a short time and worked on the Trans-Alaska Pipeline, as many young Alaskans did at that time. I spent 5 years as a teamster, as a local 959, working in Fairbanks in a warehouse. And after the pipeline was finished, I returned to the family business. And in the meantime of doing all that, I also got involved in elected office in 1976. I was elected to the North Pole City Council and spent 4 years. And quite frankly, for those members that have ever spent time on local government, it's my claim that spending time on local government is much tougher than ever spending time in state government. The issues are different, and people take it much more personally. But in 1992, I was elected to the State House and spent 10 years in the State House. And then in 1992, I was elected to the Senate and spent 8 years in the Senate, holding a number of chairmanships. But in 97 to 98, I did hold the office of Senate President, which to me was the highlight of my Senate tenure. Then I've been involved in a number of church activities, other political activities, local activities. Last year I was elected to the North Pole Housing Association as vice chairman. I was able to attend a couple of meetings when the governor called, so I did have to resign that. But I've just been actively involved in local organizations around the Fairbanks area, including the Fairbanks Chamber of Commerce. Commerce and the North Pole Chamber of Commerce. Married, have two grown daughters, have a couple of grandchildren with a couple of more grandchildren on the way, and things are good. So that's a little bit about me, and, you know, I've always said being on that side of the aisle, any questions are fair game, and I'm willing to get into any questions that you might have. I understand we're going to have an overview later on of Department of Administration, but if you want to ask some of those questions now, feel free. I don't have a problem with that.
Okay, sure. Anybody have a question? Yeah, Representative Berkowitz.
I wonder why I'm always the first one with my hand up. It's an odd position to be in, actually, for me, because Mike was president of the Senate when I was a freshman in sort of a lofty position. I have sort of three lines of question. First is about reorganization of the department. There's been rumors about it. I was wondering if you would comment on different components of that. And after that, I'd like to maybe get into some of the labor relations questions. Sure.
There has been some discussion of reorganization in the Department of Administration. Those are not concrete as of yet. Some of the discussions are some of the services we're providing, could they be better provided in health education? I guess it's health and social services now. We took out the education component a number of years ago. Some of the senior services. However, those are not set in stone. The discussion is still going back and forth. So I just want to be upfront that those discussions are going on, but nothing is set in stone right now.
I've heard rumors about Public Defender and OPA.
Public Defender and OPA will be staying in Department of Administration.
Public Defenders and OPA are both staying in admin?
Yes. There was discussions, you know, would they fit in other places? And quite frankly, the other two that they might fit in would be Department of Law or the courts. Of course, you have a problem with the courts because the courts is a separate branch of government, and they were really not interested in, from the discussions that I had and from prior discussions that went on before I came into this job. And there could have been some conflict of interest, and there's certainly probably some conflicts of interest moving into the Department of Law. So I believe we're probably at right now where those two agencies will stay in the Department of Administration. There's no conflicts there. I've gotten to start to know the two directors there. They're doing a good job with the job that they've been charged to do. Not a popular job being a public defender, and being sitting on that side of the aisle sometimes, I was one of the vocal critics, but they have a job to do, and I believe they're doing it well. So as of right now, they're going to be staying in the Department of Administration.
Just for the record, OPA is the Office of Public Advocacy, which is
yes.
The other concern was there's talk about forming a centralized panel of hearing officers, at least some discussion going on. It's been going on for quite a while, and it seems to be just being discussed more often. How many of your sub-agencies or divisions within Department Administrations have their own hearing officers?
Well, we have the tax appeal officer, and I'll be honest, I don't know how many. I'm still getting my arms around the agency, and I can get that answer back to you because I do not know how
just
how many.
For the overview is fine.
Okay, I can bring that back. But the idea actually was centered on the tax office that we set up a number of years ago in the Department of Administration, which seems to be working quite well. It was set up as kind of an independent office. And I've talked to a number of individuals who have gone through that process, and even though some of them have lost, they have felt comfortable that they have received due process. Now, as we go forward in this, it's been my goal with the administration to work with the legislature to see if we can set this up. But, you know, we may not be able to set it up. We're working real hard that direction. I think it's a good idea. But, you know, at the same time, we have to make sure that it's cost-effective and that it can be set up properly because, quite frankly, I'm not interested in setting up anything that won't work. So we're headed in that direction. I'm working with the legislature in finding out the pitfalls and the plus sides of it. But we have nothing set down that this is what it's going to look like, this is the form it's going to take. That's an evolving process. And quite frankly, the legislature's taking the lead on that, and we're just offering any assistance or answer questions that they might have.
Any other questions from the committee? Yes, Representative Berkowitz.
With employee contracts coming along, I was wondering if you would describe your philosophy towards the state employee unions and what approaches you're going to be taking to retain and recruit state employees.
Well, I think that the workforce that we have in the state of Alaska is very important to the state of Alaska, and we have 12 separate contracts right now out there that we're negotiating. We have taken, I'm sure that it's no secret what the offer has been on the table from the administration, which was a $75 a month for health insurance and a one-year rollover on the contracts. And that is the tack that we've been taking. A number of the unions are discussing it. They're weighing it within their membership right now. But I think that, we're the administration, myself included, just trying to get our arms around these contracts, trying to see what's in every contract. We're working very closely with our labor people in the Department of Administration to see what's in each contract. And I can't tell you everything that's in the contracts because I don't know yet what's in all those 12 different contracts as I'm starting to learn the agency myself. As for recruitment, I think we have a very valuable workforce. I think there's been some things that was done by the prior administration, which I think has been very helpful. Workplace Alaska, I think, is a good tool to recruit people out there in the world to bring them into state service. It's my philosophy that, and I might get in a little bit of trouble here, but I believe it's, we need a well-paid workforce. Do we need the best paid? Do we need it at the top of the scale of all state? I don't think we need to have it at the top of the scale, but our workforce doesn't need to be at the bottom of the scale either. They need to be probably somewhere in the middle. That's my personal philosophy. So I think we need to work real hard that we have a well-paid workforce, but at the same time a well-trained workforce. And my short tenure over in the department, I found that my employees are very dedicated public servants. And I think if you looked at every individual department, I would say that 99.9% of state workers are very dedicated to the state of Alaska and to the people of the state of Alaska. So I'm going to work very hard to make sure that we have qualified people there, and those jobs that need continuing education. I've already approved a number of travel requests for different education people that needs upgrading and education. So we need just to have a good, well-rounded workforce, and I will do whatever I can do to make that possible.
Who's working with the administration on the liaison with the unions on the negotiations of the contracts?
Well, right now we have had, before I got on board, the governor brought in both Andy Warwick and Bill Hudson, who are both former legislators and both former commissioners of administration, who started to do some of the groundwork in working to where we were at, where this administration was at, in the monetary issues for the upcoming contracts that will be expiring, I believe, June 30th. So they've did a lot of the groundwork even before I got here. They're continuing to be in the loop. I, contact them every so often just to see, just kind of bring them up to date and if there's any help that we need. And then we have a labor relations department within the Department of Administration, which our chance is the manager of that division, and he does the legwork to it all in the negotiations of the contracts.
What are your priorities in administering Department of Administration?
Well, my personal priorities is that, first of all, I want to make the Department of Administration a very well-run department. I've told a number of my directors over there that I'm going to put some very high standards on the department. I want the department to be a template for how other agencies should run. I want it to be very open and above board, very transparent, and somebody can look in the department and see that everything is running properly and efficiently, and there's no things going on that we wouldn't be proud about in the sunlight. So those have been some of my priorities. The other priority is that I wanted to, we're charged with delivering a service to the people of the state of Alaska, and we take take our orders from the legislature and from the governor, and whatever those services are that we're supposed to deliver, my charge is to deliver them efficiently and proper, so that there's, you know, having said as the legislator, the less issues that you hear from your constituents, the better it is for the administrator.
Yeah, thank you. Excuse me. One of the major themes that the governor has set forth is that of streamlining regulations and making them clear and concise and understandable. And I'm wondering if that's going to be a focus to change within Department of Administration to review regulations for streamlining and making them clear and concise.
Well, I think that should be a goal of all departments, is to, as we, you know, make regulations, to make them, lack of a better term, not to be too wordy, in so that an average person in the state of Alaska can pick them up, read them, understand what they say, and, you know, and know what they mean. I think that would be a goal. It should be a goal of every department. Certainly will be a goal of mine, that any regulations that are promulgated by the Department of Administration is understandable to the average person on the street of Alaska. And it also will, another goal that I will have will that it should follow legislative intent. I'm very cognizant of regulations that sometimes do not follow legislative intent. So it would be certainly my goal that whatever regulations we do will follow what the legislature meant, and if there's ever a question, then, you know, it would be my charge to get back to the legislature, okay, what exactly did you mean by this particular piece of legislation?
Yes, one follow-up on that. Having just dealt through the APOC situation and almost unintelligible set of regulations and instructions, will that be one of the areas that you try to make clear within the Department of Administration?
Well, I think we need to work with the board. In some ways, it's a little bit different because they have a board that does govern them. Ms. Miles I've known for a number of years. She's a friend of mine, and I think we can sit down and you know, okay, what is the intent of these regulations? You know, what is the intent? Can we streamline them to make them clear so, you know, anybody can pick them up and understand what they mean and still get the point across that they're trying to make? That should be the goal of any state agency, any boards and commissions that we have out there.
Thank you, Mr. Berkowitz.
Thanks so much. We've heard that you've gone through 5% and 10% cut scenarios, and you know how frustrating it is to sit on this side of the table and ask for something and not get them.
Yes.
I've asked for the 5% and 10% scenarios from other commissioners. I was wondering if perhaps, since you have some sympathy for our plight here, you might be able to provide us with the 5% and 10% scenarios for the Department of Administration.
Well, quite frankly, we kind of threw out those 5% and 10% scenarios when we got there because, quite frankly, some of them just didn't make sense. There's no way that OPA and the public defenders could take a 1% cut, much less a 5% or 10% cut. You have before you a supplemental, which is asking for more money there. That doesn't make sense. So we looked at each individual department and or each individual section within my department and said, you know, can they take a cut? And some of them were looking at commissioner's office, for example. We took a 10% cut, which was all of $14,000, but it was still a 10% cut. OPA, public defender, we did not take a cut. Pioneers, Combe, we did not ask for a cut because there again, we have 100 beds that are unfunded right now. Doesn't make sense to have a scenario like that. So I was one that kind of, when I got there, I threw that out and I said, let's relook at this. We did take some cuts in some of the agency. I think we took a 14% cut that we're proposing in the Department of, I believe it's finance. So I believe we're looking at a 10% cut in DMV, Division of Motor Vehicles. But there is no straight 5 or 10% cut that we took in our division because it just didn't make sense. So I threw those out.
That's reassuring. Public broadcasting?
Public broadcasting will probably take a small hit in the budget that we will be proposing. They will probably, they'll take less than a 10%.
One of the things that you had to do as a legislator when passing the budget is, oftentimes there would be intent language in the budget that would be, some would be kept, most would be vetoed. The legislature does that to help guide implementation of individual or collective concepts or priorities. What's your philosophy on intent language?
I'm a very strong believer in intent language. I'm a very strong believer in the legislative side of the aisle and in giving guidance to the administration on the direction they want to see a program go. Or that's why I'm very that's why I want to make sure when regs are written that it, we follow the intent of the legislation. Now, if we should sometimes come across when there is intent language that we just cannot implement for some reason or not, I will be the first over here to tell you why we cannot do it. But it would be my intent to follow the direction of the legislature, will, whether it be in the actual statute or be in intent language.
On that point, just so people are clear, intent language normally is attached to the budget, and it expresses legislative intent. The argument against intent language is that it's outside the scope of what's appropriate in a budget, and the governors, I think, uniformly have disregarded intent language, and it's always a contentious issue.
Thank you, Representative Berkowitz. Any further questions of Commissioner Designate Miller? Why are you qualified to be the Commissioner of Administration?
Well, sometimes I ask myself that same question. Actually, I was very surprised when the governor did call me, and very, very pleased at the same time. The Department of Administration really is one that in some ways, it's hard to really pin it down because we have such a wide range of issues that, you know, we deal with. We go from labor contracts to public defenders to Pioneer Homes to Division of Motor Vehicles, and sometimes it's hard to understand why some of those agencies are within in the Department of Administration. But I think, as any agency, you've got to be administrator too. And I've had certainly history in my family business of being an administrator. And you're also an administrator when you're in leadership in the legislature, too, because you have to administer all the things that are going on around you. You have to administer, you know, making sure the bills are scheduled on time, that you are, you know, the budgets are will be out when they're supposed to be out. So being in leadership, anybody in leadership in the legislature also is an administrator. So I've had a lot of experience being administrators. You also, I believe, the Department of Administration will work closely, maybe more closely than other commissioners, with the legislature just because of all the different issues that we will touch at some point or another. So I believe that you need to have a good working relationship with the legislature, and hopefully I have a good working relationship with the legislature, and it will continue to happen. So I think those are some of my qualifications, and I have a long history of public service in my family, and quite frankly, I think that's part of the way that I can repay the state of Alaska for all that it has done for me and my family is to render some public service back to the state of Alaska, whether it be in the legislature or in the administration.
Any further questions? I know, Senator Miller, you've given a tremendous amount of public service to the state, and this role, I don't believe that this role should be some sort of perception by anyone that you're now stepping up to plate to give public service, given your record of history of public service to the state, which I appreciate.
Thank you.
Any further questions? As I said, when we started this, we're going to have a much more detailed overview of your department, and we'd like you to bring as many of your top management.
Sure. Okay. Actually, I've got them here. I'll go ahead and introduce them right now. I'll go ahead and start with my Deputy Commissioner, Ray Matuszewski from Juneau. Many of you have known Ray. He worked in these halls many, many years ago with Senator Jones, and he's been in the private sector in Ketchikan for many a year now. My Assistant Commissioner is Kevin Drydell, and many of you recognize Kevin, having been in these halls and in real life. You're an attorney, right? He's in real life. And then my executive assistant is Elizabeth Snyder, who actually worked for me for a number of years and is the tail end of my legislative career, and she kind of keeps me out of trouble. So these are part of my team over there. And then when we do the overview, you'll meet a lot of my directors, which I feel very, I have a lot of very good directors in my agency over there, and I'm really proud of them. And quite frankly, without them, nothing would get done.
Well, we will have a number of questions about the budget, employee labor contracts, any consolidation efforts, and where we go from here with the Department of Administration, how it fits into the rest of the state government. And so as much information as you can hand out to the committee to so we can do our homework and then have relevant questions for you and your staff, that would be great when we do the overview, which will be sometime next month.
Next month, okay.
And Ginny will work with you and your staff on setting that up.
Okay, great.
Okay, what if there's no further questions of Commissioner Desiccius Miller, we want to thank you for coming, and you're excused. This process, we all sign a piece of paper, and it goes to the court or the House clerk, and you'll be set on when we do joint legislative confirmation.
I understand it. I've done it a number of times myself, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next bill on the agenda is House Bill 15, which we will hold until further proceedings with the sponsor of the bill has some amendments he wants to bring before the committee as a committee substitute, which we will discuss in that context. And there was a number of amendments that had gotten to him, Mr. Representative Fate, late. So it's his desire to hold the bill, and that's what I plan to do. And therefore, we will stand in adjournment until this coming Thursday. Thank you.